Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our regular Wednesday stream. We didn't really do one on Monday, so it is indeed Wednesday, my dudes. We are not late. We are never late, as is tradition.
No,
never, ever. I don't know. People have been asking for updates. I've given a few via text. And, you know, by the community posts, so do check those. But yes, I've been rather busy with job interviews and stuff, so that's why there wasn't a Monday stream.
Yeah, we've just got quite a few bits going on at the moment and other stuff happening. So at the end of the day, until this starts making us some kind of silly money or becoming a proper commitment, real life must come first sometimes.
Yes.
And that means on the odd evening or the odd week, there may be a stream missing or an article missing or something like that, but that's because we just don't want to put out like crap for the sake of it. I think people would rather appreciate the time back to do something themselves than tune in for a stream that's an hour and 20 minutes and doesn't actually provide them what they normally get out of it.
Also, for the past 3 weeks, there's basically been a piece of content almost every single day, sometimes two.
Yes.
So we have been kind of... I've been alarmed how much stuff we've made, to be honest.
People are going to get sick of us.
Yeah, quite honestly, I don't want to also give people fatigue. Thank you for asking, Davey1602. Job hunting is going well, I will say. So, yes, things are looking up somewhat. Unfortunately, for those going to Shieldings, we will not be there over the weekend because I'm still having banking trouble.
Yes.
Hooray for me.
So do have a drink on us, and hopefully we'll see some of you at the next Nomos event.
Yes.
Which will be in the last weekend of October, and we're planning to do it in Stirling. I need to have a bit of a word with some people and see what options are. But if you would like to be there for the Friday, instead of maybe an early bird dinner, we were considering maybe even seeing if we could get some kind of group deal for a tour of Stirling Castle.
Yes.
Which would probably be sort of late in the day, very early evening. So if there's sort of anywhere between half a dozen to 10 people who would be interested in doing such a thing, do get in touch and I will try and arrange that. And we'll either do it just between ourselves or as a ticket. But if you want to support the sort of stuff that we're doing here, or the stuff we do with Nomos, or the stuff we do in the Substack, you can donate to us directly on the Ko-fi thing that seems to be working relatively well, because it doesn't take too much money away from us, and also allows PayPal and crypto and all sorts of other stuff. You can either choose to become a member on the channel. A lot of people do. I see there's Coney Current Year there. I'm sure Jay Mary and the rest will show up at some point.
Yes.
You can choose to support us there monthly or via the Substack as well.
Yes. Thank you for the £5 there, Copeman, demonstrating that we are still monetized somehow. Glad your barcode's being a little too white. Well, prepare for that to go away. So also, for those of you waiting for the weather report, it's just kind of been dull and damp.
It's been non-weather.
Yeah, we've had like non-weather. It's been like 18 degrees, overcast and occasionally drizzling. It's been incredibly boring weather. We've not really had a summer apart from like 2 weeks this year in which the lakes all nearly dried up. So, interesting times. I do wish we had a proper summer.
I see someone in chat say, I wanted you to shout at Carl for having Calvin Robinson on again. Well, sometimes the universe works in weird and mysterious ways.
Yes. we'll see about that. But today we are finally doing a dedicated stream on central bank digital currency, something we haven't done as a dedicated topic before. We've done it scattered throughout other streams, and we've talked about it as part of other topics, but we've never done a dedicated one before, and quite a lot of stuff has been happening over the past month as well. So yes. it's quite an opportune time because a lot of different things are coming together. There's quite a lot of different confluence. A lot of different confluence of factors which is affecting how accelerated, let's say, some of the cases with central bank digital currency is. For those of you who don't know, central bank digital currency is a solution looking for a problem.
A problem.
It's a solution looking for a problem in that there are a lot of these kind of digital asset things coming about, but they've not really captured the public imagination. Nobody really uses things like crypto in everyday life. it's something that's become like a weird niche way of, quite frankly, making money in a Tulip Madness manner. It is very, very simple FOMO bubble stuff. And really, as we'll go through here, I think the era of crypto has effectively already ended. It's already been neutralized and absorbed into the structure. So that's exciting. We were right as always. I have noticed that basically crypto activism has disappeared from our spheres over the past 2 years.
When it has all of a sudden just become a laughing stock on the internet. I mean, it was one of those ones. I don't want to have to sit here and be like, I told you also. But
we really did.
Yep, I sat there basically about 2 and a bit years ago and said, oh yeah, this isn't good, and it's going to lead to all these horrible things we're going to cover in this stream. And people said, no, that's not true. And here we are, and then crypto's a laughing stock.
Yep. Well, we've got quite a lot to cover here, but the first thing I want to talk about are some of the adoption, or at least proposal documents from central banks.
But yeah, I think the first one here is from an Australian CBDC pilot that was ran, that I think they refer to as a number of different test cases of how they worked it, and then decided to sort of report their findings from that in this like 40-odd page report. There's a few choice bits of this you wanted to pick out.
The case findings themselves are a treasure trove of everything that people are saying that central bank digital currencies aren't going to be.
Yes.
There's a lot of muddling that goes on here. And when you have to explain that even though you're saying something and not really saying it, you're within a losing battle, really. All of these things are happening. And as we'll see, they are definitely happening despite what people tell you. But these are the case findings. They talk about, what is it, market, smarter payments, digital money, isn't that what it all is? Inclusion and resilience, which is just kind of a funny one. But the first point they have here is enabling smarter payments. Do you want to read this first one, or should I?
Yeah, can do. Enabling smarter payments. Many submissions highlighted the ability to directly control and program a tokenized CBDC as enabling a range of complex payment arrangements that are not effectively supported by existing payment systems. I mean, that straight away confuses me, because surely there is only one thing you do with money. You transact it.
Yes.
Or you transact it at a later date.
Yeah.
What are the other things you can do with money? I mean, you can burn it. It's not digital money. So what's the point? Submissions highlighted how it was possible to write codes such as smart contracts that automatically initiate payments using a tokenized CBDC when predefined conditions are met. This can allow complex transactions such as multi-party or multi-stage payments to execute automatically and simultaneously, reducing the need for costly reconciliation processes and the risk of failed transactions. Which is basically them in a roundabout way sort of suggesting, don't worry, PayPal and all these other companies and Klarna and all these folk
are going away.
Well, not that they're going away, but now that those sort of systems that automatically take payments like that, not just a direct debit for your, you know, energy bills or whatever, are now basically being sort of legitimized. Because that was always my problem with half of those things. You could never trust PayPal credit to actually make the payment for you. The day before your payment came out, it would find some error in your account 2 in the morning and then decide to cancel the payment, and then you get charged on top.
Well, they will effectively just be interface layers on top of the central bank system. As we'll get to the direct interface stuff, they are actually just playing up. But there's just the line that initiate payments using a tokenized central bank digital currency when predefined conditions are met, which basically means the central bank has their hand in all of your money. Because you could have it set up so payments that are considered quote-unquote essential will come out automatically, whether you are disputing them or not. There's a line there about reconciliation, but the reason we have reconciliation processes is because a human needs to look at arguments about why a transaction isn't taking place and why payment hasn't been given.
This is what the central ledger is for nowadays, don't you know?
It's nothing to do with transactional data. It's to do with, you know, the things money are used for. There's so many examples where this is a bad idea. Also, in a low trust environment, we have things like credit ratings for companies. And we also have something called escrow.
Yes.
If you are really worried about payments not executing, or if you're really worried about a third party not having the money that they say they do, or if you're worried about another third party simply taking your money and running off with it, use an escrow account and use an existing third party. I know there's accreditation stuff with that. It is deliberately a bit of a pain, but it's meant to be.
Yes.
These processes are meant to be stringent because they have checks on them. Simply automating the taking of people's money doesn't solve any problems. It just creates them.
I was wondering if that honk came through. I'm just waiting for all the honks in chat.
Waiting for... Fortunately, it doesn't. All the things that seem to come through are you constantly clearing your throat rather than anything.
Apologies.
Yes. Well, that's enabling smarter payments. Supporting innovation in the financial and other asset markets. There was significant interest from industry participants in exploring the tokenization of financial and other real assets on distributed ledger technology platforms.
Like the sort of turn of the hand there of, oh, well, yes, of course, we can tokenize financial assets, or we can tokenize assets that are actually real.
This included traditional debt security markets where settlement times are typically measured in days. Basically, they're talking about creating financial tokens for things like subprime mortgages.
Yes.
This is really just using fintech, low verification level stuff with a distributed ledger, which would really just be held in a server somewhere, for turning subprime mortgage bundles into something you can trade in real time, which you don't really want in some cases.
No.
All this will do is increase volatility.
Which just will allow for further financialization of everything. Several different types of less liquid assets were also tokenized in the transaction pilot, including Australian carbon credit units, New South Wales biodiversity credits, and supplier invoices, with atomic settlement affected in pilot CBDC. Participants noted that the tokenization of assets on distributed ledger technology platforms had the potential to deliver a number of benefits, including improving the efficiency, transparency, liquidity, and accessibility of asset markets. So what are they trying to suggest? That money and assets represented as things supposing to be money are just going to come sort of blurred all into one?
Well, the whole thing about it being a distributed ledger is kind of not true either. It's not like the cryptocurrency ledgers are, because those have massive problems. Those are processing headaches. And the whole thing about central bank digital currencies and the technology surrounding it, it's meant to get rid of those distributed ledgers and get rid of, you know, basically everyone checking it all at once, because it is deliberately unwieldy. So that section doesn't really make any sense. All they're saying really is that they can financialize more efficiently and also bring them effectively into your money, things like carbon credits and carbon assets. It creates a different market that is wholly under the purview of the central bank, because it is being used as a backing asset, and that can be withdrawn.
Promoting private digital money innovation. Submissions highlighted the role that a CBDC could potentially play in promoting interoperability and uniformity of new forms of private digital money, such as tokenized bank deposits and stable coins backed by high-quality assets. In this role, CBDC could serve as a similar function to settlement balances held at the central bank for settling payments made using commercial bank money. A number of submissions also highlighted the potential for privately issued stablecoins that were fully backed by CBDC to more readily compete with digital forms of money issued by regulated financial institutions. I mean, the thing that gets me is, why the fuck do we need six different types of money?
Yeah.
I mean, this
it doesn't make any sense.
The thing you're meant to have is the medium of exchange. It is the path of least resistance from turning one asset into another without having to find, you know, or solve the double coincidence of wants problem.
It is, like I said, a solution looking for a problem. Really, as we'll get to later, this is just the subsummation of the financial sector by the central bank entirely.
Yeah. I mean, what that entire paragraph reads like to me is, we will be able to mess around with our reserve requirements and other interbank sort of stuff to a degree that no one's going to know what's going on. We'll just have two computers talking to each other all day.
Yes. Thank you for the $2 Venus there, Milan. We will not unfortunately be making Venus coin. Those plans have fallen through, and we are currently being sued by the SEC.
Yes. that's the real problem we're facing nowadays.
There's this last part, which is enhancing resilience and inclusion in the digital economy. Some submissions explore the possibility that CBDC could improve the resilience of the payment system by providing households and businesses with an alternate way to make payments in certain scenarios. This includes the ability to make online electronic payments in scenarios where electricity and or telecommunication services are not available. How? For instance, following natural disasters. Again, how? It's a digital currency.
Well, I believe I read somewhere else where they talk about this point that what you're going to do, right, hear this out. You're going to take your offline device that can still verify who you are, go to a bank.
Yeah.
They give you a piece of paper that's worth something in order to, for you to be able to spend this when your CBDC system is gone and tits up when the electricity runs out.
So they've reinvented
cash.
What?
Others suggested that access to a digital form of money does not rely on having a commercial bank account, but offer social benefits to certain groups in the community who may encounter difficulties using conventional bank services, such as travellers, foreign students, Nigel Farage, and victims of domestic violence. We're so cynical that immediately when that happened, we went, this is like a banking access play.
Yeah.
And it is a banking access play, I believe. This is all a banking access play.
Well, as the thing we've discovered over the last week, or the last couple of weeks, I should say, really, and also the sort of one of the most grating things about that whole Farage thing was that at some point he was like, well, us being so dependent on bank accounts is a bad thing. That's why we need to have a guaranteed right to one. It's like, well, wouldn't we really want to reorientate society so that we're not dependent on bank accounts in this fashion?
It's a very good point. But nobody seems to want to have that discussion rather than banking is a human right as the discussion, which has become quite tiresome, and I wish people would stop doing it. CBDC capabilities and features. This is where the real stuff kicks in. Claim on the central bank. As a direct claim on the central bank, a central bank digital currency will provide a guaranteed form of value and eliminate counterparty risk when used as a medium of exchange. The ability to settle transactions directly in central bank money or in private issued digital money like stablecoins that are fully backed by CBDC was valued in a number of cases. This was particularly the case in the settlement of high-value transactions, financial assets and property, where the risks associated with settlement in traditional commercial bank money were perceived to be greater. So the bait and switch is that you will simply just be dealing with the central bank. It is a vector, and the reason they're doing this in a way that doesn't provide visible benefits to end users is because it doesn't have any benefits to end users.
No.
What it does is it allows the central bank to directly reach into people's pockets and create a system in which they are the reserve bank, not just for the banks, but for you.
Well, no, they will sell it to you as it being simpler. This is a simple solution to money. This is the modern solution to money because your money sits in your account and we can take away and add to it as we please. We don't need you.
But it also seems to be an implication that the central bank is more trustworthy than any financial institution in the country, and therefore should be in charge of every financial institution in the country directly.
Well, I think there's going to probably be, and we'll see later on that they talk about having intermediaries. The programming element might be managed more by private companies issuing the money, but then there's this issue of, well, what, so private organizations or banks are now the sole issuers of money? Are they the people who decide how much money goes in or out of the economy? I mean, there's all these questions that are not answered.
No, none of them are answered.
But I would presume at least that it will not be the central bank as we know it that manages, say, the central ledger. It'll be some, you know, there'll be some new department for digital money or something like that. It'll do it all.
Yes. Direct control.
The pilot CBDC was issued as a digital token on a distributed ledger, whatever, I can't remember that platform, where the holder was able to directly control the pilot CBDC without relying on an intermediary, unlike transactions that use a traditional bank account. For example, transferring the pilot CBDC could be performed directly by the holder. Some participants noted this feature could provide greater flexibility and control over how a CBDC, digital money more broadly, was used and reduced reliance on intermediaries. I mean, that's just a lie.
Yeah.
I mean, what, you're replacing one intermediary with another? Because there's still going to be Visa, there's still going to be MasterCard, and there'll still be some app on your phone you need to transfer it. unless there's a chip in your arm that's your new wallet, and that this is like hard coded into you somehow.
Well, that's where biometrics comes into it.
We'll no, this is why later, we used to have paper money you gave to people and put in your wallet in them.
Yes, it is. But it's an issue. It's a solution looking for a problem.
Yes,
in that you have direct control over your money because you have your money physically. And this is trying to say that, well, this eliminates the disadvantage of things like bank transfers, where you're relying on a bank, but you're still relying on a central bank.
Mm-hmm.
You're still relying on the ledger working, which means you're still using an intermediary. You know how you give people money without intermediary? You
cash.
Cash. programmability. Here we go. Many use cases highlighted benefits arising from the availability to write smart contracts whereby holders can program how a tokenized CBDC is issued. This included stipulating predefined conditions upon which a payment in CBDC must be executed. They don't talk about the stuff that the Bank of England talks about, as we'll get to, which is the fact that you could program it just to be able to be used on certain assets. They're trying to play up the idea of these smart contracts, of these automatically executing contracts. But once again, all that does is favor the contract makers. And makes other people subject to them automatically.
I mean, the vast majority of people are never going to be able to wrap their heads around this. I mean, we struggle as is, but that's because a large part of it doesn't really make much sense.
Yes.
But can you imagine trying to, like, take this 44-page report, give it to the average person on the street, and expect them to either understand any of it?
Well, atomic settlement, which is... I'm not really sure what they're trying to say here. Do you want to unpick this one?
Many submissions pointed to the benefits of a tokenized CBDC allowing for atomic settlement of transactions and tokenized assets. Many noticed that this process has the potential to reduce settlement risk and improve the efficiency of settlement processes, though it would also noted that other risks such as operational and liquidity risks would require careful management. I believe this might be something to do with, like, technically splitting an asset and putting one bit of it there, one bit of it there, and then finishing the transaction. It's Joe, it is. Load of shite.
It is. It's just that's just word vomit. That doesn't actually say anything. Transparency. As some use cases highlighted, the potential benefits of transparency of CBDC balances and transactions, which is a feature of some distributed ledger technology platforms. This feature could allow end users to independently verify balances, for example, where central bank digital currency is used as a risk-free asset to support the issuance of a stablecoin. However, transparency was not a universally valued feature. Some participants noted that transaction privacy was needed to support a variety of banking and other financial use cases. But they're right in saying that effectively central bank digital currency would be the final end of financial privacy.
Yes.
There is no way to undertake a fully private transaction with a central bank digital currency.
There is always a ledger of
yes.
transactions.
Well, there
place.
Has to be. It's the idea of an untracked or untraceable transaction in a centralized... They talk about distributed ledger technology here, but it's the technology being used in a non-distributed way. It's such a miss... They're playing hide the terms so hard here.
I will say, I think we'll need to get a bit of a move on, though, because we're 25 minutes in already here.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's... The bit here, though, that really gets me is the direct claim, the direct part where you are interfacing with the central bank, because that has huge implications for the financial sector. The financial sector will basically be a sandbox in which... you play pretend that you are offering a service that the central bank offers.
Yes, or the central bank is the ultimate backstop. But that's sort of the role that it plays anyway.
It's just that
it would now no longer be a backstop to the value of money. It would also be a backstop to the data held within the money.
Yeah,
at least in theory.
It effectively becomes the monetary system in totality.
Yes.
Which, when you talk about that happening, the idea of having the financial system becomes kind of moot. I know it's a fig leaf right now, but it does become kind of moot. I wanted to highlight very quickly just a couple of bits in the Bank of England, because that was the Australian proposal for central bank digital currency. But here in the UK, there is another document There's just some amazing lines. I'll just read a couple of lines from here because they talk about the same thing here. The bank would provide the digital pound and the central infrastructure, including the core ledger. Private sector companies, which could be banks or approved non-bank firms, would be able to integrate into the central digital pound infrastructure and provide the interface between the bank and users. They would do this by offering digital pass-through wallets to end users. The wallets would be integrated into their own services. They are known as pass-through wallets because the users' holdings of digital pounds are recorded anonymously on the bank's core ledger. In order to safeguard their privacy, and the wallet simply passes instructions from the user to the core ledger. Again, there's a lot of end users would interact with these wallets rather than directly with the bank.
I mean, it's just obfuscation.
It is, yes.
It's because we aren't totally the provider that provides you both with the central bank digital currency and also the wallet you hold your central bank digital currency in. But we know that all these people are the same. They all exist in the same class. They're all interested in the same things. They're all aiming at the same sort of society that they want. And that would mean that the people who control the pass-through wallets that supposedly keep you anonymous, of course, you would have to declare who you are first to be given an anonymous pass-through wallet. Because they're not going to give those anonymous ones away to people who would use them for deeds that they would then not want tied to who they are.
It's the whole thing. It's just playing hide the data. You are trusting that none of this data that is recorded is being recorded, or at least is being recorded permanently. The data exists, and all the company needs to do is record it in some way. It's extremely silly as well to say that it's private because it's not. There's a central ledger held by the central bank, which would, in a case of a dispute, have to have identifiable information on it, because you couldn't have a financial system without identifiable information. It doesn't work.
No.
So there would have to be some de-anonymizing process.
You can. It's called having cash in an iTrust society.
Well, yes, of course. But I was going to say, the only way to have that within a system of money is to have transactions in cash which are unobserved.
Yes.
Which this aims to effectively make impossible.
You've got another line here as well.
Yeah. I just think this is really funny because this is basically the Bank of England going, look, we know that crypto isn't real.
The unbacked crypto assets are not money as they are high risk speculative. It won't pick it out because it's the title line. Reading it there. Unbacked crypto assets are not money as they are high risk speculative assets. Crypto assets are a digital representation of ownership or contractual rights that can be transferred, stored, or traded electronically.
That was kind of just boilerplate. Yeah. Move on to here.
The majority of crypto asset activity is driven by the use of highly volatile, unbacked crypto assets and speculative investment assets. Such crypto assets, the most commonly known as Bitcoin and Ethereum, comprise around 90% of the market capitalization. I mean, the thing here straight away is that unbacked crypto assets.
Yeah, these unbacked crypto assets do not provide holders with a safe or stable store of value or a reliable unit of account. So this is just the Bank of England going, look, we know crypto isn't a currency medium. We are classing it as effectively
a security. Or a future.
Yeah.
Or...
yeah. And we are letting you play in the sandbox because we know that this is really good for getting people on board with what we want.
Yeah, I mean, this is the point I've made to so many people, and it was passed over and passed over and ignored until eventually it became almost sort of tired to say it, which is that you are normalizing the process of using digital money to buy goods and services.
Yeah.
Now, unless you live in like some sort of hellhole like Silicon Valley or something like that, you're not buying your daily shopping with crypto. But the fact that a subset of people have normalized it culturally means that when it does slowly but surely creep in, as it will over the space of probably the next decade anyway, the people will go, oh, it's just like Bitcoin. Look at me, you.
Thank you for the £4 there, Rick. I'm going to assume that's a cup of tea.
It's
a cup of tea. I just thought that was very funny, but largely the Bank of England report says the same stuff.
Yep.
Well, what's also been happening is that the SEC seems to take the exact same tone with XRP and Ethereum systems, rather than the tokens being the things picked as winners. And the tokens themselves increasingly attacked the securities, which the SEC would regulate in a way that would make them basically impossible for individuals to trade.
Yeah, I mean, well, one of the partners on the research for that Australian one was Ripple, which is XRP.
Yes, it is. But the technology is being taken, but the tokens themselves, the actual cryptocurrencies, are being attacked everywhere. I mean, we've seen that the Bank of England does not consider them to be currencies and basically is going to bring a big hammer down when they have their own replacement to force everyone else onto. But the SEC is cracking down on Coinbase and Binance for illegal securities exchanging, which would classify cryptocurrencies as securities. We have here as well, there's the Grayscale versus SEC ruling, crypto traders brace for impact. There's been a big market slump. Bitcoin is down to 25K at the moment. I'm not sure how current that is, although this was 3 days ago. So crypto is basically taking a battering because the thing they said would never happen, which is the SEC is kicking the shit out of it, is happening.
Well, there is also the inflation point here.
Yes.
That Bitcoin being worth $25,000 now is by no means what Bitcoin was and it was worth $25,000 5 years ago.
No, it is not. There's the hilarious point that a lot of the hodl of Bitcoin is quite literally a visual manifestation of inflation.
Yes, which has been my point for a very long time.
And everyone's just, it seems to be almost regurgitating your talking points, but 3 years too late.
Yeah, pretty much, but that's always what's going to happen, isn't it?
So yeah, as assets are liquidated because of, well, inflation and also because of, you know, financial hardship that people are having to go through now, turns out that when the money tap is turned off, people don't want to play with the fun bucks anymore and they have to, you know, eat.
Yeah, no, it's funny that, isn't it? It's
exactly what we said would happen is happening. And yes, Bitcoin being 25K is not the same as it being 25K 5 years ago. It's very funny that they attempt to delink themselves from the financial system and the dollar and now are caught up in the problems with it, which is very funny. SEC has sued Richard Hartness Project, Hex, Pulse Chain, and Pulse X for fraud and securities violations, again attempting to classify crypto as a security. XRP value plunges 40% because the SEC has reopened the case into whether or not XRP is a security, which is exactly what I said would happen. They can reclassify these at any point, at which point you need to be a licensed day trader with $50,000 / or I believe it's £25,000 up to certain limits. Basically, you have to have a large amount of collateral set aside to trade crypto at all.
Yep.
Or you'll have to go through an intermediary who has that license and charges you a fortune. You might as well be doing what the smart people were doing, which was buying gold and silver futures.
Yep. Or land.
Or land, yes. Like I said, crypto is basically done. If all of these go in the SEC's favor, it's a security. The apocalypse has happened. You are literally trading subprime mortgages with Doge pictures on them.
Yeah.
It's well done. Oh, and you've also trained people to interface with digital currencies. And now central banks can swoop in and say, we've made the safe version.
Yep. Well, that's part of the thing, and it's one of the things we'll get to an article we've got all the way at the end here.
Yeah.
Is that no one is using crypto day to day.
No, no one.
But a lot of these sort of government documents or articles that are friendly to the idea of CBDC put forward this idea that people all over the place are losing millions of pounds in fraud every day because of crypto.
Yeah.
Which they probably aren't. But because that exists and because they can argue that fraud is going on there because it's unregulated, they are again giving themselves the perfect excuse to then come in and say, well, as you say, let's make crypto but safe. Let's make it so you can't be frauded.
Well, here's Ledger Insights saying, digital pound, central bank digital currency won't be programmable to avoid government control. Perceptions. That headline's doing a lot of
perceptions,
eh? But we find here that later on, it will be programmable, like the digital euro. Let me just make sure. I'm just making sure it doesn't look... Ah, it's readable on screen. All these different formats are a pain in the ass to deal with, to be honest. But yeah, like the digital euro, the digital pound would not be programmable at its core, but programmability can still be implemented by the private sector. It's the attributes framework again.
Yes.
A two-tier model with a private sector layer in the middle could build on the Bank of England's infrastructure. Misfortune argued. This way, it would be private firms that deal with end users. This would allow the Bank of England to support innovation while maintaining independence. No, it isn't. It's just them laundering what they're doing. It's the same thing they've always done. It's Serco. It's all the DWP subcontractors. What's the big one in Scotland again? Was it Cotillion or something like that? Or
Cordia, there's lots
Cordia,
of
yeah.
The way I think of this, actually, is let's say it's McDonald's.
So it is programmable.
Yeah. McDonald's has a corporate responsibility to make sure that you do not damage the environment or damage yourself or the public healthcare system.
Yeah.
So they program into the CBDC that you use at McDonald's that you can actually only buy 4 burgers a day instead of 5.
Yes.
Or that you can only buy so many, you know, litres of petrol from Tesco's petrol pump. But the one that also I find a bit interesting is the line under here as well.
Yes.
Misfortune. also referred to CBDCs as a potential bridging asset between different forms of money. Responding to a question on how CBDCs would interact with things like Bitcoin and stablecoins, she reflected on today's mixed ecosystem. What we have today is that I have a Santander account and I can go to a cash machine and take out the same cash that my friend with a Barclays account takes out. Sort of bridging asset between them. No! It's money.
It's called
money. Predated the bank accounts you're dealing with. We always thought of money as money, not Santander money, not Barclays money. I mean, there was a period where there was the free banking in Scotland.
Yeah,
we maybe had Bank A's money and Bank B's money, but those were banks that backed themselves as opposed to a central bank.
Well, this is what happens when you don't have like an Austrian economics understanding of money.
Well, there's also the idea of a bridging asset.
Yeah.
That sounds to me like someone is going to interpret what your net worth is worth in terms of real pounds, digital pounds,
trillion was one of them,
whatever crypto things you own, whatever assets you have, and then reevaluate this in the CBDC itself as a bridging asset to turn all the other things you've got into one.
Well, as we see, the private sector and government seem to be moving in sync, as really the implementation is inseparable. Here we have a story from Crypto Flash News talking about crypto's central bank digital currency revolution. 8 nations adopt XRP ledger for digital currencies. Basically, a lot of these firms have turned around, and instead of being libertarian solutions, they've turned around to governments and gone, here you go, have our fintech stuff as a layer to put in, like, as a basically a plug-in so you can create these central bank digital currencies and fuck your population over.
Leveraging the expertise of Ripple and expanding on its former private ledger project, the newly minted platform draws from the capabilities of XRP. This revolutionary development allows central banks, governments, and financial entities to have an unparalleled command over their digital currencies. Notably, within a mere quarter post its launch, more than eight nations, including Russia, Japan, the UAE, New Zealand, and others, are in the process of creating their CBDCs on the XRP ledger.
Well, this is XRP's out. This is how the people who made it, and this is happening partially with Ethereum too, are given an exit window. They're being subsumed into the system. Of you hodl bros have had all of your money taken from you by these people, and now they are going to the government and they are building the cage to put you in.
Yep. Unparalleled command over their digital currencies.
Yeah. I honestly think in the future people will spit on like crypto bros. They will be remembered as like the Quislings of the regime. Did not understand money.
Well,
I'm so embarrassed by many people who still tacitly try and hang on to the last little bit of rope they've got. You people did this with your hodl and your fun bucks.
Well, there
you
was helped money in normalize it. So of course
it.
They did.
And we tried to tell these people years ago and they flatly refused to listen because they thought they were going to be millionaires.
Some of them still do.
Yeah.
But no, it was even the simple elements, though. It's like, well, you know, do you trust the people that quote-unquote develop Bitcoin or develop Ethereum? Do you trust in them to not hand over the back door to the whole software to the government. And time again, I was told, no, because there are people. Clearly, they aren't.
Well, MasterCard calls for crypto companies to join Central Bank Digital Currency Partner Program. MasterCard is huge and it's only getting bigger. It's invited blockchain firms to join its CBDC program to foster collaboration on digital money. This really is kind of a summation of this article here, which is from MasterCard itself. It's called Is Safe the New Sexy? Central Bank Digital Currencies Trust and the Evolution of Money. And here we see all of the HODL firms effectively building the ovens. The inaugural set of partners includes Central Bank Digital Currency Platform, Ripple. It's funny that Ripple is now a Central Bank Digital Currency Platform. It's just that's what it's been transformed as a headline.
Yeah. Web3 software company Consensus, yes. Multi-CBDC and tokenized asset solution provider Fluency, digital identity technology provider Eudemia, digital identity consultant Consult Hyperion, security technology group Guichet, whatever that is, and digital asset operation platform Firebox.
All of these, I've checked them out, they're all NGO and government backed. All of them. They've all received money from NGOs, governments, or from the financial system itself. As we've been through this in torturous detail before, we've been through it with crypto firms before, but all of these people are from the regime itself. We've dug into them so often. Yeah.
CBDC program partner Gisiek plus Devrent.
I'm going to read this bit first. Their efforts include Fluency's work to build interoperability among different central bank digital currencies. Consult Hyperion's work with central banks and payment processors redefine their CBDC requirements, and Ripple's launched by non-real government-issued national stablecoin in collaboration with the Republic of Palau, in addition to work on force central bank pilots. Well, all of this really is going one place, which is one world currency.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's a further part we can talk on towards the end. It's just the mention there that, I mean, this is exactly what you're talking about, that Gisek Devrent, based in Germany, has a legacy in public currency that dates back 170 years when it first started printing banknotes. So it's an asset of established money, which has developed itself into the next form of how established money will remain established.
Yes, it is. But really, what we have here is all of the crypto firms being brought in by governments and by large financial institutions. And what they are doing is they are using the bits of the fintech, in quotes, that they like to create these nightmare, effectively all-in-one, really social credit score systems in the end. Yep. That's where all of this is going. Once you have complete control of money in a granular sense, as all of this describes, and you have people like MasterCard who are the layer between you and the central bank, but in almost like a play pretend way, they are brought even closer together. All you have really is this ecosystem in which the fintech firms play, once again, in the central bank sandbox in a predefined set of terms. And all of the people who you were advertising, you know, that you was, I'm talking to the crypto people, you were advertising to us as our money sovereign saviors, have turned around and they have worked with governments and MasterCard. They have all just turned around and betrayed you. If you are somebody who believes in like digital asset sovereignty in a crypto sense, this should be like your apocalypse. But people just seem to be embarrassedly walking away from it or being quiet about it because nobody really wants to admit that they were wrong. Yep. You were wrong.
No one wants to admit I was right. That's the real part.
It's now very clear that fintech and cryptosphere has served to normalize digital currency, and that's why it's been allowed to play pretend as a currency. Sorry, central banks and regulators are already making moves to class unbacked crypto as securities and reduce them to the role of shares in a concept. And don't assume this is just a Western mission either. Russia has already adopted a law to enable the start of real-world testing for the digital ruble, as have a lot of the countries that are testing like digital currencies have already passed laws that allow them.
But it's okay because El Salvador lets you pay tax on Bitcoin.
Another story here. Russia's central bank digital ruble will be classified as a highly valuable asset, which means it will have the same standing as cash.
Yes, sort of. It means it'll act as cash as a bank deposit, but not cash as it is in your hand.
No. It will have the same standing. I mean, they're not just doing it in a pilot way. They're doing it in a like the money itself has been given legal weight already. And I wanted to highlight that because a lot of people talk about based Russia, and those people are not particularly intelligent because Russia's still doing a lot of what the other places are doing, a lot of what the West is doing. They're just doing their own version of it. And there is no ideological stand against the excesses of managerialism in the West from somewhere like Russia. That simply doesn't
No.
exist. And anyone who tells you that does not have a grasp on the issues or is lying for a different reason. And another point as well that was raised to us in our Telegram, thank you for sending us this, is the fact that cash is already being painted as pro-crime and pro-corruption, as illustrated here by the Dutch government's attempts to ban making purchases over 3,000 euros in cash, which 3,000 euros isn't that much money anymore. Like, you can't buy a car
You could,
for 3,000 euros in most places now.
some places you can buy a handbag for that kind of money. But see, it's because it's about cash. I mean, there's the line there. Customer research for purchases above 10,000 euros. Do you make a purchase that costs more than 10,000 euros and do you pay in cash? Then the seller must conduct a customer due diligence or conduct a customer due diligence. This check is mandatory to prevent money laundering and terrorist financing. You've got more than £10,000 in cash, you're a terrorist.
So cash is no longer legal tender, really. It doesn't have the legal standing anymore.
It's a legal tender.
But it's very clear that all of these talk about, cash is staying. Well, the standing of cash has already been reduced in many places. This is just a Dutch example, but there's many more examples of how cash is now being used, as we said it would, is now being used as a byword for crime. thank you, EC90, who is going to work for Gay Digital Tokens? Unfortunately, we all are.
Yeah. When gay digital tokens are the only way to access food.
Well, a quick thing you want to talk about. We might not cover this too because we got a bit long in the tooth, some other stuff. But how does central bank digital currencies interface with inflation?
I mean, I consider that a large part of what is going on here is a way to get around some of the problems we discussed in Infinite Bubble Stream, which is that if you have to engage in any sort of allusion towards the economic system being joined up, that the amount of money a government spends a year or a nation spends a year is accrued money from the previous year that has been stored up and then spent bit by bit and then reaccrued. I mean, not only does it sound laughable, but it just is nonsense. It couldn't work, nowadays. It's just not possible. So in essentially eliminating the last real thing that money was connected to, which is at least you could see it in note form in your hand. If of all of a sudden these notes started having like 9 and 10 digits on them, you'd realize something was wrong. But if every day they can just adjust all the prices and adjust all the margins electronically from a computer instead of actually going physically into your wallet and taking the tenner out to curb inflation, you just manage things differently on the back end to the point whereby there's no need for anything economically to make sense anymore, because they just play around with how much money you have in your bank account or how much it costs to buy certain goods or what other stipulations are required to buy goods. May that be the purchase of, I don't know, carbon credits elsewhere, or the fact that you can only buy things for X price within your 15-minute city. You've got to buy it from outside of there, it's X plus whatever percentage.
Yes, that's a good way of adjusting it as well, in that that is the system we'll probably have, in that buying a packet of crisps next to your house is a certain price, but buying it 50 miles away is a much higher price because they're trying to discourage people from traveling for eco reasons. And all of that will be sold as incredibly uncontroversial. And you're right as well, in that the MMT people, like, they salivate over this. This is their wet dream because they think they can just go in and fiddle with everything infinitely to make all the numbers make sense.
You pour money in one end, and then you digitally burn it up at the other, and then you don't have to calculate the inflation because there's only X amount of money, and theory only ever circulates every 12 months.
But all you end up doing there is creating an even faster cycle of malinvestment.
Well, yes, what you try to do is make a fully planned economy, and that doesn't work.
No, it's quite literally just I hate to say it, but it is a funnel towards actual Soviet economics, but just with a digital layer over it where they're pretending it's not happening.
And if you want to witness maybe a bit more of a discussion of what we thought about some of the more criminal aspects of society when it goes this way, please do go see our stream on it for bloody 5 months now.
Crime and the Cashless Society was something where we really kind of talked about the crime mitigation claims of digital currencies and the removal of cash from society. And really what it has to be replaced with, which is super high trust digital systems, is really just an engine for crime that will go ignored.
Yes.
Crime that will go deliberately unnoticed, and crime that will be baffling to many people within our society.
Crime that becomes so complex it becomes impossible to track or report.
Yes. We also did there's a Substack write up on it as well, if you prefer that. So do check that out if you'd like to look at more of the, like you said, criminal aspects. Because it's a framing I hadn't really thought about before. This was your idea. Mm. And it's something that a lot of people enjoyed. So if you've not seen that, I would advise it. Because we do discuss some more stuff about digital currencies and that. But we mostly talk about how the end of cash won't really be the end of crime like they're trying to advertise it as. In fact, it will make crime worse. Here's one. The WorldCoin orb is... It's a biometric scanner, basically.
Right.
The WorldCoin and the WorldCoin orb.
Oh, is this the face scanning thing they had the other day? Where like you, if you want to claim your WorldCoin, you had to like queue up for hours to get your face scanned and your iris scanned.
Yes, it is. Basically, what they're doing is they're creating basically tokenized identities for the unbanked, and it's this global thing for a global currency. It's all of it rolled into one. Orb is going on tour.
Of course they're going to launch this in in Asia. It's like, oh, look at me, I got the new money.
A lot of them are primed over there because of the existing kind of
digital system.
Yeah, the Chinese systems they have there, yeah. The World Coin Orb. I am the second Korean registered. This is like actual end of days, like 666 shit. They could have just called it the Mark of the Beast.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to hit all the high points of that stuff.
The logo looks like a scepter on its side.
Well, people can't really see that, but yeah. What is the orb? And World ID, and what do they do? The orb plays a vital role in the WorldCoin protocol. It's a biometric imaging device developed by Tools for Humanity to provide personhood. To prove personhood, enable universal access to the global economy.
Universal access to the global economy.
In the most inclusive... That sentence there, yeah.
Once an individual has verified their uniqueness in humanness and orb, they receive a world ID that can be used as a privacy-preserving global digital passport to seamlessly sign into websites, mobile apps, and Web3 dApps without sharing personal data like names and emails. It's a shame WorldCoin didn't come up with us sooner so that Elon Musk didn't have to work with an Israeli company for everything up.
But this is the confluence of digital ID and digital currency, that you will actually be tokenized.
Hmm.
You will quite literally be ledgered. I can only describe as a Mark of the Beast fashion.
Yes.
It's like they didn't have to do it so exactly. WorldCoin to make iris biometrics device design available to developers. But digital transaction platform has government competition.
There used to be a man that lived in Montana. Yeah. He sent boxes to people to make sure that this stuff didn't happen.
I believe he's dead now, isn't he?
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Anyway, yeah, basically everyone's scrambling to make this nightmare real. Nobody's asking, whether technology is new. This is the outgrowth of people believing technology is neutral.
I don't want to look at this anymore. Let's look at the horrible Daily Skeptic article instead, which is arguably worse.
Okay, this is a Daily Skeptic article called Who's Afraid of Central Bank Digital Currencies?
It's a bit lengthy, and we're just going to kind of read through this, but think of you know, just the brief details we've covered about some of the government documents, the private partners that they're working with, and the fact that they have literally been... You know, they've been transparent about a lot of the ways that they're going to go about implementing CBDC.
Well, if you'd, before we do this, if you'd like to support us, we're going to be on the street corner handing out Dwango books.
Yes.
Please, please, please come. We won't scan your iris, but we will give you one Dwango book.
You can use Dwango books to buy really cool things like Theakstons and cigars and Pepe's.
And nothing else. There we go. Let's get on with this, because there's some hilarious bits in here.
RC, Central Bank Digital Currencies, oppressive tools of a global elite, are merely a management consultancy pipe dream sold to ossified institutions desperate to remain relevant in PayPal and Bitcoin. Now, this is supposedly by anonymous IT reporter, but I'm just going to presume Toby Young wrote this, because it then makes it really funny as we get towards the end.
Yeah.
They are certainly never far from the minds of sceptical commentators who have already had pronounced their guilty verdicts. The case for the prosecution goes something like this. China has a CBDC system. Its purpose is to control the beleaguered population. Western banks are considering CBDCs, ergo digital tyranny. Case closed. If anyone is still reading, and I appreciate this does not make Mr. Popular amongst readers of this site, I beg to appeal to that verdict. Not because CBDCs are a good thing, nor because I want to see them introduced, and it's only sceptics that hold them back. As we shall see, their problems are legion. I appeal because we, as sceptics, look like gullible, ignorant reactionaries if we have to appeal to science fiction technology and an E-level economics student can knock down our arguments in 2 minutes flat. Our credibility is at stake.
Guys, we have to accept the central bank digital currencies or we'll look silly.
Yeah, someone's got the right... Toby Young was a lot better as Harry Hill. We should kept playing that character.
Yeah.
CBDCs are accused of allowing them to stop you buying more than your quota of unfashionable products. Fuel for your car, plane tickets, meet the usual suspects. As one respected skeptic put it to me, surely once CBDC is in place and cash has more or less vanished, it will be programmable by the government. So if it wants to reduce expenditure per capita on fossil fuels, it can. To understand why this is extremely unlikely, we need to know something about money, banks and payment systems. Now, that's just an outright lie. Yes. We have covered MasterCard's Doconomy program before, which was literally going to be a way in which they tracked the CO2 output of the purchases you made so that they could be put on some sort of blockchain-based ledger and then used to evaluate how many other goods you could buy in terms of CO2, at least.
Thank you for the 140 South African rand, Alexander Forbes. Good luck with the interviews. Thanks for all the great content. Thank you very much. I was trying to figure out what that currency was.
but we don't even need CBDCs for that one because they're already doing it.
Yeah.
And then it gets even worse.
Yeah.
CBDCs have been another form of money issued alongside physical cash. If you look at the UK economy, there are roughly speaking two forms of money, cash and bank deposits. Of which cash is about 4% of the total. Banks hold reserves at the Bank of England, which account for about 18% of the total. Not true.
Not true at all.
Because reserve requirements haven't existed for the last 2 years. But they do not mix with the retail money supply. CBDCs would be a third form of money competing with cash, so if introduced, would be likely around 5% of the money in retail circulation.
Cash is, and CBDCs would be, issued by the Bank of England, but the remaining 95% of money is not. This money is created by commercial banks when they create loans. Quick economics lesson, loans create both an asset for the bank and a liability for the borrower. So overall, bank loans do not create wealth, only money, because the amount of money in circulation is a factor in inflation. Central banks believe they can control inflation by controlling the rate at which these loans are created. They do this by varying the minimum price, aka the interest rates. Prices go up, demand goes down, fewer loans, less money, lower inflation. That's the theory anyway. But
just his argument's so stupid here. It's like, well, because the banks make loans, that means all the other money will still be money proper or fiat money, or you know, this is, he's like, oh, well, someone with A-level economics could debunk our arguments. Someone who understands what basic trickery with language is would understand that you're trying to talk about three different forms of money.
Yeah, he is talking about three different forms of money there. He also is not understanding that the financial system doesn't exist. It did in about 1910.
The idea is these vans full of money going back and forth between banks to make sure that the reserve requirements are at the right rate.
Are the reserve requirements in the room with you right now? There's a reason that an anonymous person put this out, because this is just apologia. This is just them also lying.
Sorry, I'm trying to get further down, because there's loads of shite in this. But yeah, right. Having said all of that, the identity aspects, so we're into the next part now.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, no, we can go further up here, actually. We're further along, I thought. Pardon me. For anyone who makes the choice to use CBDCs, their holdings will not be exactly cash-like, because it will not be anonymous. But I thought the government told us it was going to be anonymous if we wanted it to be. This is because retail banking legislation demands that banks know their customers, KYC, and anti-money laundering laws also require authentication of parties to banking transactions. This is why Bitcoin is the darling of scammers and hackers. It has no tie-in with identity. The Bank of England wants to reduce fraud in financial markets, not facilitate it. Andrew Bailey knows that too. Any reduction in identity requirements for account opening generally leads to an increase in fraud. I'd like to see them prove that.
Yeah.
For example, while banks want to get children into banking, they cannot reasonably ask them for payslips and utility bills as proof of ID. It is therefore harder to authenticate children. This is why we need child accounts, this is why child accounts are preferred by drug dealers. An introduction of child banking accounts has been a factor in the involvement of children in so-called county lines. Talk about unintended consequences. Now, CBDs aren't coming.
Yeah.
They aren't a good thing, but identity-based money that the Bank of England could distribute itself is a good thing.
Yeah. For anyone who makes the choice to use...
We're on the next one.
Yeah. Anyone who makes the choice to use CBDCs, basically he's saying that, look, this will completely eliminate privacy, and that's a good thing.
Yep.
And this is why we think the Free Speech Union are a bunch of shit.
Yeah. Having said all that, the identity aspects of a UK CBDC will probably be handled by what the Bank of England calls payment interface providers and external service interface providers. Private sector firms that provide access to the BOE core ledger. In practice, these will be the very same banks you use today. If you already trust your bank with your transactions, there is no reason to not trust them with CBDCs. The core BOE ledger will not contain any personal data. Yes, it will.
You just said it will.
The attribute network has to have this.
You just said it. Anyway, keep going.
There are several reasons for this, because ID in the UK is such a mess. it must be simplified then, eh?
Yeah.
Relying as it does on proxies such as utility bills and payslips, the Bank of England is above all that grubby checking of things like that as will be necessary for KYC and AML compliance when digital wallets are created. This is what the private sector is for. The other reason is risk reduction. They need to build a platform that can run fast enough and then be kept secure from cyber threats. Doing authentication checks at the rate of 30,000 per second would get in the way of the speed required, with the added dilemma that the industrial strength cryptography needed for security of such critical national infrastructure is computationally expensive.
It also doesn't exist, because you can't have a truly private encryption by law, because the encryption standards, as we went through during our prison stream, are written by the CIA. Yep. Directly.
As much processing as possible, including identity management, will be delegated to PIPs, i.e. the banks and card providers that you already trust to prove your transactions. Don't trust them.
Why is he talking about the fact that you should trust the banks, you should trust the transaction, you should trust MasterCard, you should trust Visa, you should trust your bank, you should trust the Bank of England?
It's worse. Look, rather than being an Orwellian identity trove, the proposed designs keep identity well away from the core ledger, but how would you verify them? The Bank of England is proposing to go even further by offering an alias service, including disposable single-use identities. These would be designed to be used in retail purchases where the payer elects to withhold their identity from the merchant and any downstream payment processor, such as card companies, banks, and yes, central banks. But wouldn't, what about the upstream payment processors that have to exist for the payment to happen? Aliases would not anonymize the payer from the PIP because of KYC and AML, but we already trust our banks with that data, and they'd never give it to the central bank, would they?
This is just like pretending to be stupid.
The upshot of all this is that the deeper you go into the UK CBDC system, the less personal data you will find. How a Curb Your Petrol enthusiasm scheme is meant to work in that environment is very far from clear. Perhaps James Dellingpole or one of his guests can enlighten us. He did have a guest who claimed to have a blockchain that did 1 trillion transactions per second, but I digress. Again, it seems like Toby Young wrote this.
Yeah.
I'll just go to the conclusion at the bottom because there's so much other shite here. Is identity not the crux of the matter? This is why paying attention to identity systems is important. We need modern identity systems to protect us from fraud. Do we now?
Yeah, do we?
That's like Tony Blair.
Yeah, this is pure like Blairism.
Please stop using utility bills in your mother's maiden name while ensuring that they are preserving our privacy. We used to look people in the eyes and trusted one another.
Yes.
I'm looking at you, club card holders. You need to be in control, self-sovereign in the jargon, rather than giving it up to anyone else. Skeptics would be better concerning themselves with loyalist schemes rather than CBDCs. Granted, it is not as sexy, but that is by design. For example, why do you think Nectar points are perceived as so valueless? Because it encourages you to feel that you have to put every last purchase through the card to get anything out of it, and you presume it is not of value to anyone. And that is exactly what the supermarkets want. So the summing up, CBDC problems are legion. They are technically out of reach. They risk undermining the entire retail banking system, and as pretty much everyone wrongly thinks, they are a one-way ticket to the gulag. The BOE and HM Treasury are going to struggle to get the support they need from MPs to pass a necessary legislation for another generation. My word, you are wrong. Because they've already done it.
They've already passed the legislation.
If they ever do make an appearance in the UK economy, we have little to fear. In the meantime, let's at least look at what we know we are talking about. Yeah, that you could fucking say that one again, mate.
It's like, look, when these are in place and the alternatives are gotten rid of, like they already are being, they can just do whatever they want. That's the point.
Somebody's right. You won't need CBDCs or EVs by 2030 because you'll own nothing.
Basically. Oh, it's just like, oh, well, we trust the financial sector. No, we fucking don't. Who trusts the financial sector? In fact, the whole like Nigel Farage thing of their banking is a human right-ish is predicated on the idea that people do not trust the financial sector.
Yes,
people don't trust the financial sector is because something happened in 2008 that people very vividly remember.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to Matt @FragmentShore on Twitter who sent that article to me right as we were about to start because it's absolutely perfect in describing the sort of weird normalizing attitude that tries to pretend that the CBDC isn't going to happen, but if it does happen, that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. It's just like, well, CBDC isn't happening. It's not going to be. He could just said, look, it's not going to. They're going to fail to implement it, which honestly is a relatively likely scenario that they just tie themselves in knots and aren't able to vault over this yet.
Yep.
But that's not the case. We've just been through the fact that that isn't the case. There's already laws being passed in places which make not using digital cash, which really can just be switched over. Because there's a bit in this, I know I didn't read it, where it basically says, oh, well, the banking sector would never do that.
But they talked about bridging assets, and that's exactly what they're going to do with it.
It's like, yes, it'll be a process that takes place over decades, but it'll be a process that takes place, and at the end of it, you will have an interoperable digital ID and currency system in which you are just trusting that all the information that is necessarily generated is not put together by somebody. This is as the government is charging ISPs with holding massive amounts of our data that they have constant access to. This on the backdrop of something like Prism is incredulous.
Yep.
This is why I think that anybody who bigs up either Toby Young or the Free Speech Union or the Associated Daily Skeptic is a fool. These people are hand in glove with the regime. They are. And that's, again, it's a perfect encapsulation of all the problems with
it. Just get it over with. Give me my Adiguango bucks.
Yeah.
Hello, sir.
I'd much rather trust Mr. Adiguango.
I would actually trust him more than fucking anyone the bank.
Anyway, if you guys do like our work, do check out our Substack. Do check out the links below. We have a Telegram, all that good stuff. Do interact with the videos. It helps people see them.
Yes, please do. We all enjoy Al Gore's rhythm.
We do enjoy Al Gore's rhythm. And as we've... honestly, you can just see from certain things that if you take a break from YouTube, it tries to punish you. But I don't know. We try to keep Al Gore's rhythm flowing. Thank you to everyone who donated. Thank you to all of our members. Thank you to everyone who sends us some of these articles as well, because some of these were last-minute additions that were perfect because, one, a lot of them have been published... well, this was published today.
Yes.
And we don't see every... we are not actually omniscient, despite some people's thoughts.
No, we are omniscient. What are you on about?
What are you on about? Yes.
Omniscient, omnipresent, all the omnis. Omni-trio.
Shadump. you be quiet now.
I will not be quiet.
The stream is coming to an end, and I will now play the outro music.
Are you saying it's over?
It is indeed over, I'm afraid.
See you all next week. Go to the pub.
See you all next week. Go to the pub. Bye.